Hello, welcome to Our PVC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPVCLife or through our website at pvclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Praise the Lord as we continue in our series, Positioning Yourself for Greatness. And as we position ourselves for greatness, we need to honor the things that we must do. Honor, I call them the I wills. I will. So today's I will is I will avoid overindulgences. I will honor God, our provider, by avoiding overindulgences. Now let me read from Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 30. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our own image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the animals on earth, the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground." Then God said, "Look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food." In verse 30, he says this, "And I have given every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, the small animals that scurry along the ground, everything that has life." And that is what happened. I love how it ends, "And that is what happened." Basically, God has given us everything we could ever need or want, and then he gave us authority to have dominion over all the things of the earth, dominion over all that he created. He said, "Govern it and use it and create from it so that you can sustain life until I return." But our God had an expectation of us humans that he created. He created us first, and then he gave us the entirety of earth, the kingdom of the animals, and he says every living thing. And it was not an unreasonable expectation that God put on us. His expectation, his request is this: honor the Lord in all that you have and all that you do. Honor God with your talents, honor him with your time, and honor him with your tithe, which he taught later on in the same book of Genesis. Honor the God of heaven back with everything you have been given. Honor God, our creator, with your talents. So what you create from what he created. With your time, how you use your life to glorify God in what you engage in. In your tithe, which is giving back to the Lord from all that he has given to you. Honor the God of heaven because he has honored and favored you. And what did he do? He gave us authority over every living thing. Now, things that are made by hand, he allowed us to use what he created. You don't make chair out of air. You made it out of wood. The wood is from the tree that God created because it's a living tree that others will grow. He made all the living things so that we could make all the other things from it. And there is nothing made that was not made by God. Even in the things that they're creating now technologically, it comes from something. They're looking for the nickel. God put it in the ground. No matter what it is, there's nothing created by humans that was not created by God. Are you with me this morning? But humanity seems to forget that. They think, "I created this." You created from what God created. And if God had not made it a living thing, it would not continue to exist because it would have never made it for how many billions of years or millions of years. It has to recreate itself because the creator created it. Somebody say amen this morning. Now that's a wow. So here comes the caution that we tend to ignore. Society has ignored it. And because they do not want to follow the word and the dictates of the God who created all things. All that God is requiring of us, one of the things God is requiring of us, avoid overindulgences. All he requires is honor the giver and the provider. Who's the giver? The creator. Who's the provider? The creator. If God dried up anything, a sea, you can't make another sea happen there. Hello? Do you see how unique everything is? If you're not noticing it, just look at your garden. By the way, Gord, how's your tomatoes? Not good. It's sad this year, isn't it? Why? Because we can't stop the rain from coming, and everything is created to function in a certain way. I don't think God's trying to remove the tomatoes. He's trying to show us he's God. If he sends the rain, we love it. If it's too much rain, things don't work. If it's not enough rain, wildfires in one place. Everything is by God. So what do we need to do? Just avoid the overindulgences in everything that he has given us. Overindulgence is qualified as selfishness and godless independence. It is a worldliness that serves only self. It is a worldly appetite that has an insatiable quest for more and more, regardless of the lack of everyone else. It is a lustful greed that exploits and ignores others. Can I say that again? It is a lustful greed that exploits and or ignores everyone else. For example, I'm picking on a few people today. For example, many of you younger ones haven't heard about him, but those of us that are older knew who he was because he had a show. In July 2020, it was estimated that Jay Leno's collection is 180 plus vintage cars and 160 motorcycles, and it's worth now anywhere from $50 to $100 million. They can't even estimate the value of it. That's 180 cars. That's like one every second day. And then every other day, 160 motorcycles. Like, really, Jay? Right? What are you going to do? You open the gate and you go and count them every day? Thieves, stop stealing from us. Somebody's got 180 to go take from. They might sue me for that. Jay Leno, you need a huge hearse and a large cemetery to take it all with you. Because the reality is, you're going to either leave it for many other fools like yourself to indulge in, because you can't take it to neither heaven nor hell. Whether you live for God or not, you can't take it with you. So here's what the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 to 8. Yet true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave it. See, it wasn't my words, it's the Bible. You can't take it with you. So if you have enough food and clothing, let us be content. What do we need? Need to not walk buck, and we need not to starve. Two things. Everything else is, stay with me. Everything else is a blessing from God, an overflow blessing. But we have become so overindulgent in wild living. Wild living begins when we have no caution, just as an insatiable appetite for more, with a dissatisfaction that you don't have enough. Wild living has no cautions to it. No one knows how to stop when they get engaged in it, and they don't even care about the consequences of it. There's no concern about the people hurting around the world while they're indulging and overindulging in everything for self. There's nothing wrong with indulgences. God says in Genesis 1, I've given you everything in the earth to enjoy. Have dominion over it. Govern it. He's not stopping us from enjoying everything he's created, but don't take it all for self. Anyone with me this morning? The constant quest for more is a sinful appetite. And I want to speak to believers online and in-house. The constant quest to go one up and have more. Big is right. This is nice. This is so-and-so has this house. I've got to have bigger. They've got that car. I've got to get better. That is a sinful appetite that does not please God. There are many of you that are so ashamed of your home when God provided you a beautiful home because somebody has bigger. Get over it and love what God has given you, because he has done you well. Pastor Ruth, that's why when we call for small groups so you can congregate and bless each other, it's like, my home's not as nice. Oh, come on. If you ever come to my home, I'm in a townhouse. You ever come to my townhouse and you have something to say, back up. I'm not about that. I lived on the mission field for 20 plus years. I don't have time to impress anyone. I'm going to impress my God. Folks, it's okay to have tempered indulgences, which makes you just want to smile at how good God is to you. I love smiling. I look out in my backyard and sit on my deck, and I have this little plaque on my deck that says, you know, that it's a serenity plaque. I look at my flowers, and I'm just like, God, you're so good to me. Oh, I love it. I absolutely love it. I love the fact that I could sit at my window where I study in my office and the street is peaceful, and I just can study and I can hear from God. I'm like, God, you're so good to me. Not everyone has such peacefulness. I thank God for it. That's why I can produce. I write every Thursday and I can produce because there's a peacefulness. We need to look at what we got to thank God for and stop looking at what else we need. Now, tempered indulgences, it's okay. Just be cautious and know when enough is enough. And know when too much is too much. Let me share a couple of examples. You know, I love to tell my own stories. Who else am I going to tell it on? I don't have kids to, you know, so I tell my own stories, right? So my overindulgence, you know, I love certain fruits, and I tell you about it already. I love cherries. So when cherries come out and they're selling them at a good price, like I just buy, you would think I have a family. I buy bag one, bag two. I'm grabbing them all because if they're sweet, I run back and buy more and stick it in the fridge. And I'll just sit there and eat cherry after. I can eat a bag of cherry a night. You know why you can't overindulge? It raises my sugar. My other crave is good mangoes. We have something called Julie mangoes. Anyone who goes away, come back with Julie mango for your pastor. I can devour mangoes and I can't be stopped. And when I travel to the islands, I get what they call mango boils. Anyone ever had? That's when you've eaten so much mango, the acid burns your lip. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And raises your sugar again. See, God added something into everything for us to know when to stop. I know when to stop when my lip starts to burn. I love ice cream. I could eat it every night after dinner. But while it's wonderful, the unlovable fat around the abdomen says stop. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Everything has a caution to it, so you will know when it is enough. I see a family. Stop. I see a family laughing at me because I stopped by their home the other day with a box of mangoes. So I was at the cash and there was a box of mango at the grocery store in Farm Boy, and I was like, oh, mangoes, and I grabbed the box. And I got home and I thought, I can't eat through a whole box. I'm preaching about this tomorrow. So to appease myself, I ran over and I said, you guys have a family, here's some mangoes, just so that I could only have four in my house today. So that I didn't want to feel guilty while I'm preaching. But then they're laughing at me, so I had to tell. There's some cautions in everything. Holy Spirit works with our conscience, and he helps us with that willpower. Do you ever know what that is called? Willpower. Let me tell you two quick stories from the Bible. Luke chapter 15, 11 to 13, the parable of the squanderer, who's called the overindulgent. Who is the overindulgent? Jesus told them a story. A man had two sons. The younger told his father, I want my share of the estate now before you die. So the father agreed to divide the wealth between them. A few days later, the son packed all his belongings, moved to a distant land, and he wasted all the money in wild living. What did he happen? He had everything he needed. He had everything he wanted. Sometimes we want what we don't need. He didn't need all his father's inheritance right away, but he wanted it. He got it. And what happens? Within a few seasons, he has squandered it all in wild living. Because when we're overindulgent, we don't know where the caution button is. And pretty soon, a bird takes it and it flew away. Young people, hear me. If you want everything right away, you're going to end up with nothing. Do you know why us older ones were tempered? It's because we've learned if you get it all too soon, it can destroy you. It's better when you can walk into it time after time. I was just sharing with someone this morning, my first car was a Datsun 210. Any of you guys remember what that was? Ooh, it was sweet. I mean, now they would laugh like crazy at it, but it was a little beat up Datsun 210 that you had to fix every weekend. But oh, it was so good. Now when I'm driving around in my vehicle, I look back and think, God, you brought me here. It's good when you can come from somewhere to somewhere, but when you get it all at once, there's no appreciation. So do not become trapped because of your carelessness, your carefreeness, and because you avoid the cautions. Don't avoid the cautions that God has put in you. Common sense tells you when enough is enough. And if you don't know when enough is enough, then you're glamorizing the wrong things in the world. People today love to hear about those who have too much. That's why so many shows are built on my crib and my this and my that, because people have an appetite to see the people who have too much. It is sinful to be glamorizing the people who have no sense of what is overindulgence. And the Bible tells us that these are fools. It says fools. The appetite for us to see what others have makes us as foolish as those who are fools. Luke 12, 13 to 21, the parable of the super rich indulgent. Hear this one. Someone called out, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me." Jesus replied, "Friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that?" Then he said, "Beware. Beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own." Did you hear that? And then he tells a story. A rich man had a fertile farm, produced fine crops. He said to himself, "What should I do? I don't have rooms for all my crops." Then he said, "I know, I'll tear down my barn, build a bigger one. And then I'll have room enough to store all the wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, oh, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool, you will die this very night. Then you will get everything you worked for." What did he work for? Nothing. Verse 21, "Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not be rich in relationship with God." Today, I'm going to ask those who have not yet made a commitment to serve the Lord as your Savior to take the richest thing you can, which is the gift of God of salvation. If you don't accept that gift, you're going to live your life trying to make everything else work for you when God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit wants to speak into your life. Online, this is for you. If you've not made that decision, you do not know what you are doing with your life. You're striving. When I get rich, I hear people say this, "When I get rich, I'll come to God." God is not interested in your richness. He created it. "When I have my act together, I'll come to God." When are you ever going to get your act together? Every time you get one step, the devil throws you another. Every time you get close to the needle, he moves the line. The only time your act is together is when you're holding on to his unchanging hand and he's got you in the palm of his hands. That is why it's important to commit your life to the Lord and then begin to journey with him hand in hand. So folks, I want to share with you this morning of, yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not be in a rich relationship with God. I'm calling you today to a rich relationship with God, online and in-house. That is for you today. So I'm going to ask you a question that many people ask this question, and I'm always amazed when I'm sitting on airplane, the minute I say I'm a pastor, I get this question, and I'm sure many of you've asked it. Here's the question. Why does God allow poverty in the world and so much suffering to people who had no choice but to live in these poor countries and in deplorable conditions? For instance, as I shared with Malawi, for 20 years as I traveled into the different countries, and not all Africa is like Malawi. You get South Africa that's very rich and prosperous, Kenya and Nigeria and many, Ghana, different places. But every country has its own DNA and its own system, just like we in North America. But I always get this question on airplanes, and I get it from young people. Why does God allow poverty? Can I just tell you the answer here? First of all, the question is wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's the wrong perspective. It's the wrong question, and it is the wrong context. The question is posed in the wrong manner, because God has given us everything we need to take care of the world. And he says, I give you dominion over the earth. Let me just show you something and then you tell me what's wrong. Would you just show these for me now? Thank you, Jordan. These are the most expensive homes sold in 2022. Look at the price of that. Go to the next one. Next one. Next one. These are the yachts. This is a personal yacht. These are not cruise ships now. These are personal yachts. Did you see the prices on these? Do you know how many countries it could take care of? But one person. And if they have that yacht, what else do they have? What else do they have? The house and the... Is that overindulgent? Do you know what the Bible calls them? A fool? Like, you're going to leave your 30-bedroom house to go on your 20-bedroom yacht. And it's only two or three of you. And then you're going to drive your 20 cars. And guess what? They still need more. Why? You can never get to satisfaction when you get that. In fact, can I just dare tell you, the guy with the little serene up there, $550 million, you know the guy that owns that little serene there? He's dying for the day he could buy History Supreme. Yes? Because he's like, well, there's History Supreme and I'm only at the Serene. I want to get to Supreme, not Serene. Because people are never satisfied when they become overindulgent. And so the question is not what God did, it's what humanity has done. Genesis 1:28, God blessed them and says, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and what? Talk to me and what? Govern it. If we're governing, it means we're looking after everyone, that we're cautious about everyone. Oh, buy the house for $100 million and send $400 million to Malawi and lift the people up. It's not their fault the rain isn't coming at the same timing as we have in North America. But those who got there first took everything. Those who have the education, the family status, the technological advancement, the privileges to rise first, they choose to destroy the rest and make the rest pay for what they're living in. That's why we sent a man to the moon and he got to laugh at us and say, oh, it's because of you fools who got me up there, Mr. whichever one it was. Who was it? Huh? Neil? Nope, wrong people. You're older. Young people. Who was it that just went up to the moon? What? Elon Musk. And when he went up, what did he say? Thank you all, because it's you that got me up there. Why? Because every penny they take, you know what? Apple charges me $1.76 for a 50 kg or 50 whatever extra that I can never find, and I can't find anybody to cancel it. So year after year, they've been taking my $1.76, add that up over 10 years. No wonder they can go to the moon. Anybody feel it with me this morning? It's the little that counts too. The world's motto is, he who has the most toys win. God's motto is, you fool. It is not God, folks, it's not God who has stolen all the riches for himself. I have a typo there, that's my typo. It's not God who has stolen all the riches for himself. It is the greed of humanity and the insatiable appetite for more. And let me wrap up with this to tell you. Humanity has honored financial strength above spiritual strength. People love to enamor those who dishonor God. People love to enamor those who dishonor God. And that is why I want to tell you, we've been blessed in North America. Yes, we're first to the table. Yes, we've got the privilege of a more educational advancement and technological advancement. And we're here in Canada, we're blessed with fine weather. We have snow that produces water in the ground, even though we don't like being cold, but the snow has a function. We have green trees everywhere. We've got land to spare. We've got it all. And God keeps producing, and we keep saying more. And we keep taking more and taking back. Some countries, people live in poverty, in war, disaster, pestilence, diseases, and yet they demonstrate a greater happiness about their lives than North Americans. Many live in constant trauma, and they demonstrate a wonderful disposition of love and trust and fellowship. We wonder why in North America churches are always fighting and bickering. It's because we've not spent our time looking at the needs of the world and being less indulgent about ourselves and more thankful for the indulgences that God does give us that are tempered and being a blessing to others. There are people in the third world countries that will show more honor to God than people who God have blessed right here in Canada and North America. Yes, somebody, thank you for that one clap. Today in North America, we have more dissatisfaction, more depression, more anxieties, more suicides, plaguing multitudes in our prosperous countries. These dissatisfactions are the conditions of overindulgence, rapidly destroying the next generation. Next generation, nothing satisfies them. Why? Why doesn't anything satisfy them? Somebody tell me. Why doesn't anything satisfy the next generation? Because we've taught them that there's never enough, that they need more. We've not shown our own contentment, but we blame them for their lack of contentment. Folks, let us change the system and be content in what God has given us and be the ones to say, God, help me to help others. If you're serving God, we have a commitment to be people who advance the kingdom of God because it's the kingdom of God that will change the systems of the world. If you haven't noticed, people get very offended or angry if money is mentioned in the church. Can I ask you why people get so offended and angry if we say tithe or money or give or do? Why? Can your house run without money? Does your business run without money? Is there anything else in society that runs without money? So why would we be so afraid if money is mentioned in the sense of tithe? That's a biblical principle. And what does God say? He doesn't say, give to me because I'm desperate. He says, I gave you everything to govern. And I ask you one thing, give back unto the work of the Lord to advance the kingdom of God, so that as we advance the kingdom of God, we will then please the Lord by showing, God, I'm so grateful for what you've done for me. This is my offering to you. There are times we give and we give grudgingly, and I'm sharing that this morning. Don't give grudgingly to God. Don't give grudgingly to God. We subtly or we unconsciously glamorize greed. That's why I showed you those pictures. Oh, look at that, it's so good. And I'll tell you, we're all enamored by it. One of my pastimes, I love driving in some of these areas and looking at those $5 million. It used to be million. It just makes you go, oh, that's what you could do. Dream. I love when I go to Florida and I take that boat trip that you pay for. I pay to go watch all these yachts. I do it. Anybody else ever done it? Come on, be real. Anybody else? Because we look at it. But don't ever be so desperate that we begin to live to get there. Because the person who got there is still not satisfied. But my satisfaction is in the name of the Lord. My satisfaction is I can stand in this pulpit today, and Renata can testify to you that while I was an evangelist, I spent hundreds, actually, Renata, it was $80,000 I spent for that time when I came in and did those crusades across Malawi and into, I did the same in Zambia for another $60,000. I did it in South Africa. I didn't use that so that I could have a name or I could have a big house. I used it because I can stand here today and say lives have been changed. There are people in that conference now that have started ministries that are unstoppable. Folks, there's greater, you can't take from me what's inside of me. You can take from me. They tried to steal my car, by the way. Some of you didn't know that. I have a Lexus, and they tried to steal it. Couldn't touch it. They didn't get it. Well, I shouldn't boast. Forgive me, Lord. They might come back. But if they did, that can be replaced. But what nobody can replace, nobody, no man can replace when I stand before the Master and he says, well done. What? Good and faithful servant. Nobody can take that from you. So I'm going to ask you to ask the Lord to reveal to you where you stand on issues of money in the church. Is God's work a priority or is it last place? Do you prefer only the food things where you can get back to eat from it? Or do you prefer to see the kingdom advance? Because here's what the Lord says, Malachi 3:8, should people cheat God? Yet you have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? It says, you've cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. I'm going to encourage those of you, we've got a church that's filling up, and we're looking at when we'll start double services again. Perhaps not in September. I think we'll start the first week of October, just because September is up and down. But I want you to know, while we're filling, there are many not tithing. When we don't tithe, we rob God. Why? Because you rob yourself. So I'm sharing that this morning. Father, forgive us. God, our provider, creator, forgive us. God, I'm not making an appeal to make anyone feel bad. I'm depositing the word that says we are so consumed with overindulgences that we sometimes forsake the principles of the word of God. It is a blessing to give unto God who gives back unto us. We're not giving to you up in heaven. We're giving here on earth because we bless the work of the kingdom. So Father, while we've acclaimed sinners and enamored greed mongers and extortionists, help us, O God, to have a right perspective so that generations to come, so that Finley and Jasper and the other kids, as they grow up, even in Malawi, and become missionaries, that they will be supported because we have not stopped doing what is right before the Lord. So I thank you, God. I pray, God, any who've taken offense to the ending of this message, that God, you would speak to their hearts, because we don't realize how much we lock up our own blessing by the attitude of our heart. So God, heal the attitude of hearts today. And may this, God, be a message that will transform generations so our children will grow up and think of others, not just themselves. In the name of Jesus, and all in agreement say, amen. Folks, you know that even the outdoor prayer, we don't collect offerings. You know that for the 6 years I'm here, you've never heard me preach on money. Because I have faith and I believe in what God's going to do. But today's message on overindulgence lent itself to remind us that we have to be careful what we do into the future and how we destroy generations by the examples that we set in the present. Amen? When you honor God, God overwhelms you. Can I say that again? When we honor God, God overwhelms us. Amen?
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.